Steve Lanham. May contain spoilers. May contain spoilers.
On this week's May Contain Spoilers, we're falling in love with computers, small building blocks and anything else we can find as we review Spike Jonze's Her and the Lego Movie. If you've seen anything over the last few weeks you want to tell us about, then tweet us at Film Spoilers or email us on maycontainspoilers at hot1028.com. Karen O and Spike Jonze with the Moon Song, taken from the soundtrack to Her. That's really, really nice. I like that. You're listening to May Contain Spoilers. My name's Steve Lanham.
I'm Drew Bridger.
And I'm JP Stockwell.
And coming up on tonight's show, we're going to be reviewing Her and the Lego Movie. We'll also take a look at some film news, some crowdfunding corner, also Safe Cinema and all of next week's new releases. So a packed show. It is, again, pre-recorded. So if you're listening live, then you can always get involved with the show. But just that... we won't be able to
interact,
read out on air,
as it were.
And we have had some involvement from our listeners regarding our VHS archive little segment that we've had going on.
Yeah, it's gone down well. So on last week's show, I brought up the story of people inexplicably keeping hold of VHSs and why we do that and why we haven't got rid of them. And we came up with the idea for the VHS archive. So things that you've got on video that you just haven't got rid of for whatever reason, we wanted you to send in pictures. You could email them to us at maycontainspoilers@hot1028.com or tweet us at Film Spoilers or go to the Facebook page. People have been doing that. I've created a folder, an album especially, on Facebook and started to put a few of them up. So take a little look and see if you share any similar VHS library films.
Yeah, there's some a couple other people here that have actually sent some good stuff in. Two to mention are Chris Foster and Rebecca McWilliams. Chris has loads, but most of them are Disney ones, which are quite impressive.
Yeah,
because they're older Disney ones, which used to be put in the Disney Vault. And Rebecca's got Can't Hardly Wait and Top Gun. I want to talk about yours though.
Yeah,
because you've got the original Star Wars.
I have. They're digitally remastered ones,
yeah,
but they haven't got the special effects that were added in the late 90s.
Right.
Which I'd
exactly.
actually, if I could get those on Blu-ray, I'd be quite happy, but you kind of have to have them. With
people are after your ones.
Really?
People are after the ones that you've got, yeah.
I can't remember which, because I also do have, I have like a trilogy box set of the original trilogy on VHS, and I know they are remastered, but I'm not sure if they're the effects added ones.
Right.
Obviously because I haven't watched them on VHS for many a year.
Well, that's the downside. I don't have a VHS player anymore, so I can't watch it anyway, but I'll keep hold of them if they might be.
If anyone knows if mine are, I'll have to upload. I did upload a few pictures of some of mine, but I haven't done the Star Wars ones yet, because maybe I'll do a little separate little video of those just to show the box.
There
it's all
go.
Very
something
nice.
To look forward to. So yeah, we do want to see what films you've got on VHS, so you can go to the Facebook page and put them on the wall, or email us makeatayspoilers@hot1028.com or tweet us at Film Spoilers. And I think from next week we'll start actually inducting films into the archive, a bit like the National Records or the Hall of Fame and things like that.
Yeah.
We'll choose what films get to go
be
saved for posterity in the VHS archive. So we'll have more on that later on the show, but let's move on to our first
frame
review.
All of the pictures and sign them and everything.
Yeah, maybe we should send them to the filmmakers. Let's start with our first review this week, which is Spike Jonze's Her. And the story is: a lonely writer develops an unlikely relationship with one of his newly purchased operating systems that's designed to meet his every need.
I even made a new friend. I have a friend. And the absurd thing is, she's actually an operating system Charles left her behind, but she's totally amazing. You know, she's so smart. She doesn't just see things in black or white. Like, she sees this whole gray area, and she's helping me explore it. And we just bonded really quickly. I'm weird. That's weird, right? That I'm bonding with an OS. No, it's okay. It's weird.
Well, I don't think so. Actually, the woman that I've been seeing, Samantha, I didn't tell you, but she's an OS.
You're dating Inouye? What is that like?
It's great, actually. I feel really close to her. Like, when I talk to her, I feel like she's with me.
Are you falling in love with her?
Does that make me freak?
No. No, I think it's... I think anybody who falls in love is a freak.
So, Her is directed by Spike Jonze and stars Joaquin Phoenix, Amy Adams and Scarlett Johansson. JP, you've seen this as well as me. What did you think of Her?
Well, I guess, should we get off right to the first thing? If we're saying Jonze or Jones?
Well, yeah, I never
know. I've always said Jonze, but, okay. You know.
I think Jonze because it's got a Z in it, but that's not really based on any sort of... knowledge of how you actually say people's last names. So
maybe it's one of these ones that everyone gets wrong. It's actually Honze.
Honze, yeah, Hones.
Like,
yeah.
Honze.
Yeah, I don't know. So
it's Mexican.
Anyway.
The long and the short of it is we don't know, essentially.
Okay, but in terms of the film, I have to say I really love the movie. I think probably it's... I mean, we're not that far into the year, but so far I'd probably say it's my favourite movie of the year, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I really loved everything about it. I love the tone and the kind of feel. It's got a more sombre type feel to it. There's been a little bit of a debate about whether it's kind of just kind of playing into the mentality of, you know, slightly more... how would you describe it? You know, introverted males, but, you know, I didn't really care about that. I just loved everything about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I really, really love the film. And what you get with Spike Jonze is the whole world feels right. You know, it's kind of set in a near future.
Yeah.
But you're not sort of exposed to lots of sci-fi ideas, and there's not flying cars and all that, you know, blue lights everywhere and what you get from really hard sci-fi films.
Yeah,
it still feels very kind of now, and I think that does well to make you focus on what the actual story is.
Well, in a way, actually, it almost has a slightly retro futurist feel to it.
Which would make sense, because
I mean, some people have criticised it for looking a bit kind of IKEA ish, which apparently he did actually has directed IKEA adverts in the past,
okay.
So maybe it makes sense. But I mean, just the look of the characters, the costumes, the lighting, the cinematography, everything that kind of goes, it almost looks like kind of 60s pop futurist aesthetic, doesn't it, with all the bright colours, but it has this kind of lower contrast look to everything. And the look of the film plays just as much a part as the feel and the themes that are a big part of the movie as well.
It's the themes that are of particular interest, I think, because when you describe it as the film where Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with a computer, I mean, that is on the basis level what the story is, but it's more the idea, what I found interesting was that he works his job he works as someone who writes letters to people for people.
Yeah.
So people basically can't be bothered to write letters, love letters, thank you letters, congratulations letters to friends, relatives, etc., etc. So they can go on this website and he sort of pens them for him. And some of them he's done for years on end, and he gets to know everything about them from pictures and things like that. And in a world where people aren't willing to connect with real people anyway, it is interesting that you could have this connection with a computer. And the most interesting part of that is the idea of it, as we heard in the clip, Amy Adams, when she's told by Joaquin Phoenix that he's in dating a computer, she doesn't think that's weird or immediately say, you know, how does that work? It's, what's it like? No one really questions that. That's not the main concern.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that a lot of people have been talking about in terms of the themes with it as well, is that because a lot of this stuff isn't, you know, it's only a hop, skip and a jump away from what we already experience with technology, you know, in terms of, you know, things like Siri and... all these sorts of things, you know, automating quite a lot of aspects of our lives, that to have something that's slightly more intelligent doing that, that you can actually have a conversation about, and is as efficient and quick as, you know, an operating system or some form of robotic type thing can be, it's just kind of fascinating. And the idea you can just have all this going on and everyone's doing it, and so it's not really that strange.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a really weird prequel to Terminator.
Yeah, maybe. It's sort like, of, yeah.
The machines are already all around, you know, and it's like, it's the next step is that they become sentient.
Well, there is a point that people have been talking about as well, where it does go in directions of that. You probably know what I'm referring to later in the film, stuff with the operating systems that, you know, some people don't quite understand, because it's so kind of beyond our understanding of, you know, physical and things like that, that this whole idea of non-physical, I mean, it's something that we've had to come to terms with in some way when computers were coming about anyway, the whole idea of things that are stored on physical things but they themselves aren't physical, it's just an amalgamation of numbers and letters.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of it. And it starts off with Samantha, obviously the voiced by Scarlett Johansson as the operating system. She is learning everything about this world, she's new to it. She even says to Theodore, you know, I want to learn things. Every time I'm told something, I learn from it, and I kind of grow through that. And the idea is that he's at the beginning is the person who knows everything, and she knows nothing. And then at a point in the film, they kind of cross over, and she's continuing to grow, and he's not growing anymore. And then he finds it difficult to understand. So at the start, when she doesn't understand what he does, by the end of the film, it's the other way around, and he can't comprehend what she's doing. And the kind of key question in the film, which is said by, we should say Rooney Mara's in the film, is the ex-wife of, or separated
soon
wife,
to be ex-wife, yeah.
Of Theodore. She says when she finds out, I mean, she's the person who can't understand how he can date an iOS. Yeah. And she says, you know, you can't handle real people's emotions. That's why you're in love with your computer. But in the end, the film kind of suggests that, well, actually, it's impossible to... He can understand these emotions, and he has gone through all those emotions that you'd get of a normal relationship.
And what is love, really? Does it have to exist, you know, on a physical level, or, I mean, there are questions that have been brought up in science fiction before, you know, the idea of these kind of ideas of the physical and non-physical and things like that. And I think that it's still a really fascinating subject, though, and the way that this movie does that and makes you and keeps you thinking about that whilst also keeping engaged with what's actually going on and the way it's playing out is just really fascinating and really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, and when you think about it, it's a lot of the film is Theodore Joaquin Phoenix talking to himself, essentially. Yeah. Although you do get Samantha's voice too.
Yeah.
But the way, but it's when, one person. You don't really think about it.
Yeah,
it's
one of those things where if you stop and think of what Joaquin Phoenix would have been doing in this scene, essentially just talking to himself. The idea of that is that it's, you know, it makes his performance that much more interesting and better, because he's essentially playing off of nothing. But the idea that you're so engaged with their conversation, which was done, I mean, it's been talked about that Samantha Morton was originally the voice, but got changed out. But the fact that that doesn't play, you know, you don't see any detriment to the conversation at all, is probably very much up to their performances.
Yeah, it's really impressive that all of their performances, but particularly Joaquin Phoenix. And I'm going to throw this out there, and you can tell me that this is maybe wrong or an obvious thing to say, but the film that it reminds me of, and there's a reason probably why it jumped to mind.
I might have a guess, but
okay,
go on.
I thought Her was very similar in a lot of ways to Lost in Translation.
Yeah,
is that what you expected me to say?
I was going
to
bring this up because there have been a lot of comparisons with that, and also in terms of Spike Jonze and... I've forgotten the name again. I'm having the senior moment. Sophia Coppola's Coppola's previous marriage.
Oh right, okay.
And apparently there had been problems with that, and you can sort of see almost parallels. Like, do you remember the Giovanni Ribisi character in Lost in Translation?
Yeah.
People saying that was kind of a substitute for him being this kind of fleeting presence, and then Rooney Mara in this being this person that doesn't understand him. There's a lot of some things down to the music. Like, do you remember at the end of Lost in Translation, the song, I forget what the actual song, but Like Honey song at the end, the way that song ends,
Jesus and Mary Chain.
Is it? I can't remember.
I could be getting confused with.
But the very end song, the way that song ends has a very similar sound, like electronic sound, to the way that her begins.
Yeah,
it has this kind of.
Well, the soundtrack to Lost in Translation is. A lot of it, the score is done by Kevin Shields, who's in My Bloody Valentine. He's kind of famous for that sort of distorted guitar sound.
Yeah, and here we have Arcade Fire.
Yeah, with a very similar idea. Again, taking a kind of slightly experimental band and getting them to do it.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting. I never knew that they were a couple. And as a double bill, that would make a nice kind of counterpoint.
Yeah.
But even just the feel of the film, it's the kind of idea that in Lost in Translation, Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson are kind of completely unaware of the people around them. It's all about what's happening in this insular relationship and finding someone who connects with you and means something to you. And this is very similar, where the rest of the world is kind of muted out. Even when they're talking, you don't really hear much of the outside world because it's so focused on them. But even the kind of the neon sort of cityscapes, I think in Her it's China where it's filmed, but it's supposed to be America.
Yeah, but I think it's they used some parts of China to demonstrate, you know, a slightly more futuristic Los Angeles, I think it's supposed to be. Yeah,
it's that idea of being human beings being completely disconnected from the world now and separated in their own sort of bubbles almost, and I think that in that way they're very, very similar. But that's what I love about Spike Jonze and his films, is you get that feeling of it's his film. So it has a certain look, it has a certain sound, you know, obviously picking Karen O to do a lot of the music as well as Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
That's a kind of a through line through his films now. And it's a nice, I like that with a director. And I suppose you could say that in a way it makes them slightly predictable, but I would rather that it felt like one of his films.
As long as you like the things that they're known for, then you can just keep going back
to
them.
That's very true.
And over. I mean, you could say the same for, like, you know, someone like Wes Anderson.
I was going to say Wes Anderson's the obvious choice.
And anyone that was in these kind of the group of what they call the American smart movie people. So Spike Jonze and even though he's French,
Michel Gondry,
and. The
even
writer.
Though he's French,
the
that's
writer.
Kind of implying that the rest of France isn't that smart filmmaking.
I just mean in terms of the American smart movies.
Yeah,
there's the writer behind both
Charlie
of those, Charlie Kaufman. These whole group of people.
It's people that, funnily enough, have made their name in music videos and adverts. So
yeah.
I think you could probably throw Jonathan Glazer in there, who also, again, Scarlett Johansson link has got under the skin coming out this year, which seems to be a similar idea of kind of relationships and things. But let's give Her scores out of 5. I think it could be quite high scores all round, but JP, you can go first.
Yeah, it's no surprise. 5 stars from me. Yeah, it is my movie of the year so far. I loved everything about it. It's just amazing to look at. I love all the themes and how it gets you thinking about all this stuff whilst not distracting you from the movie itself. All the performances are really great, and it's just a great movie. 5 stars.
5 stars to JP. I'm absolutely with you on that one. 5 stars for me. I absolutely loved it, and it's the themes in the film which make it interesting, but also, I mean, the performances, as you say, really kind of make the film too, because they can kind of go unnoticed because they're so understated, and it's really impressive how it manages to keep you so engaged with the characters, even when there's not, when you think about what actually happens in the film, there's not a lot of actual sort of, you can't think of many scenes where there's set pieces or things like that that really kind of strike you. It's lots of kind of kitchen sink, almost mundane, sat by a computer.
And even listening to some of the clips and things, it might sound, you know, a bit kind of noodly-poodly,
But the
whole film, that's kind of why sometimes I have, you know, some trouble against things that are out of the context of the film, like trailers and things, because the movie sets you up for the tone in which it's trying to portray, and it's the movie sets that up from the beginning as, you know, a kind of more sombre kind of mood piece, but not in an annoying way, at least not for me anyway.
Nice. So 2 5-star reviews from JP and I for her. If you've seen it, tell us what you thought of it, why you thought it was great, or maybe you just didn't like it, but we want to know.
Get in touch with the team now. Tweet us at Film Spoilers or email us on makeandtakespoilers@hot1028.com.
And Off You, which is from the soundtrack to Her, and that really adds to the kind of the idea of it as being like a sort of a mood piece. I think it kind of gives you an idea of what the sound of the film is. We really, really loved Her, and if you've seen it, at Film Spoilers or Make a Team Spoilers at top1028.com to email us your thoughts. Also, we still want your VHS archive pictures, things that you've kept on VHS, why you've kept them, and what you plan to do with them, maybe just pictures of them. Email them to, as I said, makeatteamspoilers@hot1028.com, at Film Spoilers, or go to the Facebook page. Now, it's time for us to choose this week's Sofa Cinema, and Drew, you have found it for us.
I do.
So it's films you can watch on Freeview or just on terrestrial TV over the next 6 days or so. What have you got for us this week?
Okay, I know we normally try and do some kind of theme.
We say that every week.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think we should just stop saying that.
But I've got one this week.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I've actually got one.
It's worth keeping, then.
Yeah. The theme is mid to late 90s classics.
Okay.
So.
Okay. It's loose. It's a loose theme, but I like
it. Very loose theme.
That's a genre, I think, isn't it?
It is a genre.
Yeah. You'd find in a VHS store, possibly.
Mid to late 90s teen classics.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one is on Saturday, that's the 22nd of February. This is at 10 p.m. on the Viva channel. So not normally one I use for looking for films, but they have Event Horizon, which is a very unusual sort of sci-fi film about a spaceship with a crew that kind of goes into a wormhole or goes missing and comes back 7 years later, appears, and apparently the ship is now sentient. It's carrying...
Technically a horror film? Is it a sci-fi horror film like Alien?
I think it slightly is, but the presence of Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne make it somewhat less of a horror. They sort of soften the blow, as it were. It's hard to find a film with them in too scary, really.
Maybe. I don't know about that, but we'll see. I'm sure that Sam Neill could be scary if he needs to be. And
he busts it out.
What time is that on Saturday?
That's at 10 p.m.
On
a very
Viva.
Reasonable time for a Saturday.
Yeah. Prime time viewing, almost.
Exactly. So the next one is the next day. It's Sunday the 23rd. That's at 6:15 p.m. This is on Film 4, and it's Independence Day.
Classic.
Who doesn't love Independence Day? I was actually talking to someone else who was mentioning their VHS collection, and they said they had the limited edition Independence Day one with a holographic cover.
Lenticular cover, yeah,
lenticular
I remember that.
Cover, yes, I remember that as well. So
yeah, big I fan of Independence Day. And obviously we're still kind of
welcome to
waiting.
Earth.
Yeah, waiting for the... the sequels
to
get pushed back and pushed back, but
and no
actually,
Will Smith,
I say waiting.
Apparently.
Yeah, I'm not actually waiting that much, but yeah. So when is Independence Day on?
That is Sunday the 23rd at 6:15 p.m. And the last one is on Tuesday the 25th at 8 p.m. on E4, and it is 10 Things I Hate About You with the late great Heath Ledger. It's a classic bit of 90s teen movie rom-com, as it were.
So there you go. Those are Drew's Sophie Cinema for this week: Event Horizon, Independence Day, and 10 Things I Hate About You. We'll have another Sophie Cinema on next week's show, but still to come on this week's May Contain Spoilers. After the break, we're going to have a look at the Lego Movie. There's also film news, a crowdfunding corner, and we're also going to talk about the trailer for the Guardians of the Galaxy, so don't go anywhere.
Steve Lanham, May Contain Spoilers, Hot Radio.
You're listening to May Contain Spoilers, and earlier on in the show, we looked at Spike Jonze's Her and gave it 5 stars all round from JP and I. So it's been a good few months so far, as it always seems to be, because it's when all the Oscar films come out, but it soon goes back to a lean period soon. You're listening to May Contain Spoilers. I'm Steve Bannum, and JP Stockwell and Drew Bridger are with me. And the other film we saw this week, which we're going to talk about now, is the Lego Movie, which annoyingly, although I really wanted to see it, I didn't actually get around to it. So it's just JP and Drew that have seen this one. And the story is: an ordinary Lego minifigure, mistakenly thought to be the extraordinary master builder, is recruited to join a quest to stop an evil Lego tyrant from gluing the universe together.
There was a prophecy.
Oh, now there's a prophecy.
About the piece of resistance.
Oh, yes. The supposed missing piece of resistance that can somehow magically disarm the Kraggle. Give me a break.
One day, a talented Lassoir fellow, a special one with face of yellow, will make the piece of resistance found from its hiding refuge underground. And with a noble army at the helm, this master builder will thwart the Kraggle and save the realm and be the greatest, most interesting, most important person of all times. All this is true because it rhymes.
So the Lego Movie is directed by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, and stars Will Arnett, Elizabeth Banks, Alison Brie, Will Ferrell, Will Forte, Dave Franco, Morgan Freeman, Jonah Hill, lots and lots of people. What did you guys think?
It's been a big build up.
Yeah, what did you guys what did you guys think of the Lego Movie?
I absolutely loved this film.
Bit by bit.
Yeah.
It won you over.
This is exactly what Wreck-It Ralph was for me last year, which is to say it's like the funniest and most entertaining and impressively animated film I think I'm likely to see all year. And, you know, I know that this is obviously directed primarily at kids, but so was Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and I completely unexpectedly loved that as well. And this is just, it's brilliance in its animation and its script writing, because it's not full of these jokes that are meant for kids, but, you know, there's a double meaning to them that adults get as well. It's not full of things like that. You know, Shrek kind of had those things where it was kind of, you know, the odd dirty joke thrown in for the adults. Mm. And not once did the Lego Movie really need to resort to that. All it had was clever puns. It had funny moments. It had clever writing.
It's definitely its energy as well.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I actually saw this straight after Her, and that being a very, very different shift in tone there, coming out of this kind of somber movie, and then all of a sudden it feels like you've just had like a load of sugar burst into you for about an hour and a half.
It is literally like someone has eaten all of the biscuits and all of the sugar and then made a film out of Lego.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
But done very well. And I would say I definitely enjoyed it as well. I mean, these guys, Chris Lord and Phil Lord and Chris Miller,
close,
seem to kind of just be on a roll recently of bringing things that you wouldn't necessarily expect the best from, but then just blowing all of that out of the water.
Yeah, and so they, I mean, Drew mentioned Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. They directed the first one,
first
and
one,
of course,
yeah,
21 Jump Street as well.
Yeah.
So, it's their presence which makes me excited about seeing the film, even before I'd heard you guys' kind of thoughts on it. It's, you know that they're going to bring something interesting and different to it, and it seems like that's the case. I mean, cast wise, obviously, they're Lego figures. I think there was something like over 3 million Lego blocks used in the film, but a lot of it's CGI as well.
Yeah.
How does that kind of work? How did it fit? Could you tell when it was CGI? And did
are moments where you can tell, like, because of the certain movements that the characters have to make at certain points, you look at it and go, well, obviously that had to be done with CGI because you can't make Lego move like that. But the best thing is that everything that they do is done in Lego. So if something explodes into fire, the smoke and the fire in the background is made from Lego.
Are the corresponding Lego pieces of fire. And, and like the smoke is made of the little pieces of bricks that you would even normally use for tiny little parts.
Yeah,
and,
the
and
little
the
bits.
The water as well is all, you know, squared Lego parts, and so they've like really committed to this idea of using the Lego and the licenses as well, because that was probably one of the more interesting things that a lot of people have been wondering about this movie, is that how they incorporate all these different licensed characters and areas and stuff. So you got like Batman, Superman, and Green Lantern, 80s Spaceman,
Star Wars. Up, yeah.
There's loads of different stuff, which so, is exciting in itself, because everyone's you know, big on their superheroes and things like that now. So
yeah, that I mean that's interesting, because presumably they get the licenses to make toys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then when you then turn it into a film, I mean, presumably you're dealing with completely different people who have the licenses, because I mean, Marvel obviously own some of their properties but not others.
Yeah.
But if you were to make toys of it, I think they probably do own all of the licenses. So if
possibly.
You then want to turn it into a film, you have to get permission from Marvel and from Sony if you
well,
want to put X-Men in it.
Well, I think it's easier
something.
For them to do all the DC ones, because DC is owned by Warner Brothers, which is the company that made the Lego movie.
Yeah.
So they obviously said, go ahead and use all of our Lego DC characters. But because Marvel is owned by Disney, it would have been harder for them to get the likeness rights to use the Lego versions of Marvel characters.
But they got Star Wars, and that's Disney.
Yeah, it's odd,
but I think,
isn't it?
But I think the Lego Star Wars outdates the Disney deal, so.
But to put it in a film, though, that's what I mean. It must add a complication to it once you put it in a film. I mean, we've got lots of talk at the moment about Batman and Superman. I mean, this is obviously the first incarnation of Batman on screen since the Nolan trilogy.
Yeah.
And what an incarnation it is.
I think there'd be a great quiz question in this one day, when it's name all the people to have played Batman in film.
Yeah.
And Will Arnett is going to be the ace in the in the hole, that you don't necessarily think of as one of the Batman.
And Channing Tatum as Superman. And
is that who it is in
that's,
the film?
Yeah,
that's
Channing Tatum.
That's who plays
and then
Superman.
Jonah Hill is Green Lantern as well.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, when these sort of films get announced, this reminds me slightly of the Monopoly film, which seems to have kind of fallen by the wayside now, which was linked with Ridley Scott for a while.
Yeah. But there's been other like toy things, you know, like
Transformers
and Battleship and that sort of stuff.
You kind of look at it and think, well, how are they going to make a film about that? That's ridiculous. But this is almost the counter argument to say it is worthwhile sometimes using these existing brands to do things. And I think it might be something that is specific to Lego because it has a visual style and things like that that makes it worthwhile.
There is also a kind of message behind it as well, because a commentary on it as well, the fact that Lego used to be just, you know, bricks, and you used to just buy them in buckets and just make your own thing. And there is and then eventually it's moved into more of the licensed sets that you just you get the
instructions
and you stick to those instructions.
And for adults, there's a big move now. I think a lot of the money from Lego comes from adults buying sets from films and from TV.
And it does deal with that to a certain extent. It does deal with like the differences between
ages.
What it used to be and what it is now.
Yeah.
And the idea of conformity versus, you know, creativity, that whole argument is brought up as well.
Because that's exactly what I used to have when I was a kid. I went out and I bought a bucket of Lego and like literally empty it on the carpet. It's like, here you go, make something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, whereas now it's make it and leave it in a cabinet or something. And obviously we've got the Simpsons Lego, we've got Ghostbusters Lego, Lord of the Rings Lego, Star Wars Lego.
You've got all the video games.
And it seems like this is almost leaning more on the video games than the actual idea of the general Lego, but as you say, it seems to address that as
well. Yeah, it does go quite heavily into the actual building of Lego.
In a sort of Matrix-type vibe.
Yeah, kind of.
All of the characters that are builders, as they call them in this game, that have the ability to sort of use their imagination to build things out of their surroundings. it's almost like they're in the Matrix because all of the little parts have the corresponding numbers above them, which relate to the pieces that they are, which is brilliant.
Do you think this is going to be a franchise now? Is there... Does the film leave it open for a selection of Lego movies, or is this like a one-off?
Potentially. I mean, you know, any studio will tell you if something's successful, they'll try, you know, or they'll certainly want to try and, you know, milk it or carry on.
There have been Lego Star Wars movies prior to this.
Yeah, there have been other smaller...
About three or four.
Smaller Lego projects and things like that. And there is... sort of a kind of cliffhanger, but in a way that doesn't necessarily say there will be one a new movie, but it's kind of sets up a potentially of kicking it off straight from where this one ends.
Right, okay.
But you know,
I wouldn't be surprised if we did see.
Yeah,
much
I wouldn't
like
be surprised.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs too.
Yeah, or you know, something like, you know, like the original Toy Story had a kind of cliffhanger ending, which kind of made you think, oh, well, that could be a good point to start off and jump off. And I mean, the box office takings and all that.
It's
records out of the water and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be surprised. And if the original guys come back in some way, because I mean, we talked about Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs too. Wasn't the same directors, wasn't quite as good. So if they're back on board, I believe they are doing the second 22
Jump Street.
So we'll see what that comes of it. But in terms of this, if they were to come back on board again, I'd be very interested.
Okay, so let's give the Lego Movie a score out of 5. Drew, you can go first.
I'm going to give this 4.5 out of 5 because it's very little that I didn't enjoy about this. I would have probably wanted a few more puns, but at the end of the day, I loved everything that Batman said in this movie. I loved the ending to the film. I'm not going to say too much about it, but I was kind of wondering, like, how are they going to end this movie? Like, what are they going to do to trump themselves? And they completely managed it, and I was like, that's brilliant. And the great thing about this is that it is a common, relatable subject that brings back nostalgia in people. Everyone has played with Lego, so everyone knows what it's like to play with Lego, and they go and see this movie and it's like, oh yeah, I remember doing that. It's brilliant. So it gets 4.5 stars from me because I absolutely loved it.
Okay, JP?
I'm going to go with a really solid 4 stars. I really enjoyed it as well. I think the energy and just the quick-wittedness of it is very much an established motif of these two directors now, so I think that anything that comes from them now is going to be of a certain quality. And I really enjoyed it as well. 4 stars.
There we go then. 4 stars from JP and 4.5 for Drew for the Lego Movie. If you've seen it, tell us what you thought of it.
Get in touch with the team now. Tweet us at FilmSpoilers or email us on makeandtakespoilers@hot1028.com.
Everything is Awesome by Tegan and Sarah, featuring the Lonely Island from the Lego Movie. And JP and Drew were enjoying that far too much for my liking, but what are you going to do?
You'll like it when in context of the film, I think.
The
film has to kind of hypnotise you into liking it.
I was about to bust out some glow sticks.
Wow. You're always on the verge of breaking out glow sticks, JP. Drew, let's be honest here.
Crowdfunding corner. Always ready to go in my bag.
Yeah, well, anyway, let's okay. Speaking of always ready to go, let's go with your crowdfunding corner for this week, which is going to be what?
Okay, well, I'd like to give a quick mention to something that kind of flew under my radar a little bit until I heard about it the other day. It's a project that's finished now, but the film is made. It's called Camp Dakota, and it's got Grace Helbig and Hannah Hart and Mamory Hart, who are three big YouTube personalities. The film is out now and ready to download. It is a crowdfunded one, so go and check that out, because they're really, really funny girls. Especially Hannah Hart, if you've ever watched My Drunk Kitchen. But my crowdfunding corner for the week, anyone that knows me knows that if there's a Kevin Smith-related project on the go, I will find it and I will mention it. So,
surprise it's taken this long. Yeah.
Exactly. So, this week's one is called Shooting Clerks. It's a Kevin Smith biopic by Old Reeky Studios. And Old Reeky Studios are a English, London-based film studios that do a lot of Smith-related fan-based work. So they have adapted some old stories from Kevin Smith's autobiography, My Boring-Ass Life. A lot to do with Jason Mewes when he was sort of coming out of rehab, and they basically they went and made a film of that story that he told. What they're looking to do now is to make a biopic of how Kevin Smith made his seminal feature film and people who aided in his indie crusade to make Clerks. From the makers of, and they've made other, like I said, they've made other Smith related fan projects before. They've actually got the endorsement of Smith himself. He has mentioned them on a lot of his podcasts, and he's a big fan of a lot of their work. And the guy who plays Kevin Smith in these films actually looks quite a lot like him, which is
so. Is this
very
a
impressive.
fictionalized story of the making of Clerks?
Not
or is
exactly
it a documentary?
Fictionalized, but not exactly
well, if it's got
a
someone,
documentary.
If it's got someone it's basically playing Kevin Smith, it has to be slightly fictionalized.
It's slightly fictionalized. Basically, it's a reenactment of the events that he had while he was making Clerks. So okay. It's all kind of behind-the-scenes stuff that they did, but it's all reenacted and everything like that. So they've actually got people in playing actors who acted in Clerks. So actually, they got MC Lars in to play the guy who played Randall, Jeff Anderson. So that's pretty impressive. At the moment, they are at £1,815 raised of... Now, this is the impressive part. They're looking to raise £27,575, which is the amount that it cost Kevin Smith to make Clerks.
That is actually
which is pretty
cool.
Impressive.
I'll give him that.
Yeah. And they've got 42 days left to do that.
So
and that's on
quite,
Indiegogo, not Kickstarter for a change.
Okay, and that was called...
That's called Shooting Clerks, a Kevin Smith biopic.
So there you go. This week's crowdfunding corner, Shooting Clerks. If you want to see a link to it, we'll put it on our Facebook and our Twitter, at Film Spoilers, at some part over the next week. And you can go and have a look and decide whether you want to donate some of your money towards it. Crowdfunding corner. Now, as we're moving swiftly towards the end of the show, we'll just talk about the big news story which kind of happened this week, which is the dropping of the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
Yeah.
Which is, to be honest, I'm not really that interested particularly or excited about. I have no vested interest in...
Any of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I like some of the films, I don't like some of the others.
No.
But Guardians of the Galaxy is one of those ones which I thought, I'm not really that interested, it's got a raccoon in it, blah, 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 blah. And from the trailer, I'm actually going to say that I am now much more inclined to be excited about it than I was before, because it looks like Marvel have made a comedy film.
Exactly, and that's the thing, that's what I liked about the look of this trailer, is that it's almost so far removed from things like Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, everything like that, that you can actually just go and watch it and have it be kind of a fresh thing to start with.
Yeah.
You don't need to have all of the backstory behind it, you don't need to know all of the characters in it. It's almost like they've made their own kind of little version of Star Wars, which is
yeah,
brilliant.
That's what I'm definitely getting from this. Like I just watched the trailer just before we started recording, and I was already kind of intrigued with this anyway, because I didn't have any knowledge of the characters before, but just from the people that are behind it and a little bit of research of what the Guardians of the Galaxy are and what this movie was supposed to be, I was more intrigued with this than just another sequel to one of their other movies, because this is like a strange kind of space opera type movie.
Yes.
And just from the look of the trailer, it does look like quite an interesting and different turn for Marvel. Doing
and they have
something
to incorporate
quite different.
It. That's the
yeah.
interesting thing.
Yeah, they do.
If they
have
go
to...
over the top, it still has to be incorporated into the same universe that has Iron Man in it. And
I guess so, but because maybe it's set in space and it's kind of its separate thing. I mean, I guess you can kind of say the thing with Thor, but they also really do incorporate Earth with that. But this looks like it's going to be its own thing, but with potential of having connections with it, but maybe not. That's not going to be as much a big deal with the movie itself. They'll just be the odd thing at the end.
I think the connections for having Guardians of the Galaxy as part of this Marvel Cinematic Universe franchise will become apparent in the film, and the relationships that are there will eventually come to affect things later on.
Yeah.
But this is just a great thing to go and watch and just be like, this is a fresh franchise to start off with.
And kind of fair play to Marvel for taking a little bit of a risk, especially, you know, for a big kind of summer blockbuster. So, and it's got a great song in the trailer as well, I should say that. But you can find a link to it. We'll put it on our Twitter as well, at Film Spoilers. As we're getting towards the end of the show, as I say, let's have a look at what's on DVD and Blu-ray next week, JT.
Well, there's not a big list of stuff this week, but there is a Marvel movie to tie in there. So we have got the Thor 2... the second Thor movie, The Dark World, we should say.
Steelbook.
There's a steelbook for that. Safety Not Guaranteed, and One Chance, the Paul Potts story.
Yeah. Safety Not Guaranteed is like a time travel type film, isn't it?
Yes, it's directed by the guy that's going to be doing the Jurassic World movie.
So I will try and check that out. I think it might even be on Netflix. I find that hard to believe if it's just coming out on
I mean, it's a small kind of indie movie, so maybe it's had some slight troubles with getting enough money for distribution here in the UK, at least, maybe. But
who knows? Yeah. Worth checking out. Yeah. So what's in cinemas next week?
It's a little bit barren as well this week, but we do have a few things. There's New York Winter's Tale.
Looks terrible.
Only Lovers Left Alive. Stranger by the Lake. And from Saturday, there is the part one and part two of Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac.
Yeah, so not really any big releases, and the other ones will be quite difficult to track down, I think. So on next week's show, we will probably have a review of The Monuments Men, because we've managed to miss that so far.
We might catch on with that, yeah.
Yeah, and also maybe some other things that are knocking around that we can have a look at. So it could be a bit of...
maybe a retro
together.
Review of something.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. So keep your eye out for what we're going to do on next week's show. If you miss anything on this week's show, you can download the podcast. Remember, just type Make and Tame Spoilers Podcast into your search engine, or go to iTunes. You can find us on there as well. As I say, we've got Twitter at Film Spoilers, or we want your VHS archives to our Facebook page, and you can see other people's suggestions there. So well worth a look, and to judge what people have got lying around in their houses. Always worth a look.
Judge you on your film tastes.
Yeah, until next week. It's goodbye from me.
It is goodbye from me.
And honey, where are my underpants? Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold